Good afternoon. I'm Callie Crossley. This is the Callie Crossley Show. If you're just tuning in, we're talking about education this hour. We're wrapping up with William Fitzhugh. He's the founder and publisher of the Concord Review. Respected for its rigorous standards, the Review has printed close to 1,000 essays by teenagers over the last two decades. William Fitzhugh, welcome.
Thanks very much. Nice to be here.
Oh, great. Let's tell our listeners about the Concord Review, which is really what you call varsity academics. I love that.
Well, I partly do that because we pay so much attention to varsity athletics. Actually, varsity academics is a trademark. And imagine trying to trademark varsity athletics. I mean, you just couldn't do it, right? Yeah. So, I mean, sometimes when I talk about it, people think I'm anti-sports, but I'm not. But there's a terrific imbalance. I mean, we have nationally televised high school football games. But authors can be published in the Concord Review, 11,000-word paper, 12,000-word paper, and they don't even get into the Globe. Now, never mind national exposure. So my problem with that is that it sends a message to kids that some things are much more important than others. I know, it's to put it in a very simple way, it's sort of like a teacher saying to a student, "This is a wonderful paper. It's the best work I've had in 5 years from a student. And I won't tell anyone, so you won't get in trouble."
Now, in essence, the Concord Review listeners gathers together these fabulous essays, done research papers about history from students all over the globe. And our editor here, William Fitzhugh, goes over them and picks the best ones and publishes them in a book in the past, but now online. Yeah.
There's sort of two goals, and one was to recognize, to search out and recognize kids that are working hard, not just bright kids, but diligent kids as well, who are willing to put in the time for one reason or another. And that's worked out well. Kids have sent me good papers, as you say, from 39 countries so far. The second part was to put their work in front of other students and teachers as an inspiration for them to be more diligent and maybe take history more seriously, take academic writing more seriously. And that's been much more difficult. People are used to contests. Mm. A contest, you submit a paper, you win, and they throw the paper away or they give it back to you or something. Or they don't do anything with it. The Intel Science Talent Search spends $500,000 or $600,000 on its finalists, you know, and they have a brilliant work done by high school students, but then they sit on it. You know, they don't show it to other high school students. So the idea of showing the exemplary work of their peers to students is still too new, it seems. You know, it hasn't caught on yet that that's something that would be worthwhile.
But you've been doing this work since 1987.
I know. So. And, you know, it's amazing to me how – it's funny. I did a workshop in Florida in August. I rarely do that, but I got invited by a friend who was social studies chairman of Collier County Schools at the time. And at the end of the workshop on the third day, I handed out a whole bunch of copies, printed copies from last year. And I said to the teachers, you know, you're going to get the echo effect. If you hand one of these copies to someone and say, these are high school history students, they're going to say, these are high school history students, because our expectations are lower than the capability of the students.
I would have to agree. These are stunning, I have to say. Let me just give our listeners just a little sample. This is one called Evaluating the Legacy of Civil War Medicine, Amputations, Anesthesia, and Administration. Just a couple sentences at the top here. In thinking of Civil War medicine, the picture that comes to mind is of a young wounded soldier restrained by three or four men on a crude operating table. The surgeon has a sharpened blade and a bottle of whiskey. The soldier takes a drink. Then the surgeon swiftly removes the limb as a soldier squirms and cries out. The operation is done in a matter of minutes, and the soldier is left next to a building with the masses of other wounded. Limbs are stacked high, the stench is unbearable. Sanitation seems to be a foreign concept. The worst characters in this Civil War tragedy are the surgeons who just cut off every afflicted limb and left the soldiers to their pain, not even providing them with anesthesia. The medical incompetence appears so profound. And then she goes on to really describe what is really going on in great detail. It's quite an amazing piece. And there's this one. This is about the role of Christianity and the rise of feminist and national movements in Korea. In the 18th and 19th century, Western imperial nations began looking eastward for their expansion. China and Japan were two of the first East Asian nations to be heavily influenced by the West. So this is, you know, and it goes on to talk about, you know, Korea's close proximity, all of that. These are fabulous pieces.
Yeah.
The top ones of these you award every year with a $1,000 prize, five of them.
Right.
That's great.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the top first prize in the Intel Science Talent Search is $100,000. And also in Siemens, it's $100,000. So, and the $1,000 used to be $3,000 and may disappear at any time. It all depends on what donors will do.
Hey, but these are whatever. This is some fabulous work. I think a lot of people listening to this would wonder, how do you check for plagiarism and how do you evaluate these pieces?
Well, I've been reading history for a little over 30 years, teaching and doing the Concord Review. And I'm not saying I can never be fooled, but I'll give you one example. I got a paper about 15 years ago from a high school sophomore in New York City on the degree to which the work of John Maynard Keynes was original and how much he contributed to others and how much he borrowed from ones before him. And I read it, and I said, there's no way some 15-year-old kid's going to write a paper like this. It just can't be done, you know. Mm. Then I discovered that he was at Hunter College High School, which is harder to get into than Harvard. He placed fifth in what was then the Westinghouse Science Talent Search nationally. He was first clarinet in the New York Youth Symphony Orchestra. He wrote the paper, you know. He's now graduated in physics from Harvard and was a Marshall Scholar at Cambridge and is getting a PhD at Berkeley. I mean, he wrote the paper.
Yeah.
You know? One of the hard things about being a high school teacher is you never know who's out there. I sometimes like to say to teachers, you know, every Nobel Prize winner was once a high school student. I mean, you could look out in your class and there's Henry Kissinger and Colin Powell and Barack Obama, and you don't know who they are. They're just kids. But they may be smarter than you are. They may, you know, you have to be prepared. I mean, obviously, yeah, there are ones that need a lot of remedial help. There's a whole range. But if you shoot for the middle or below the middle, then you're not going to challenge the kids who are capable of doing this kind of work. And one of the things I found is the International Baccalaureate is the only organization that has a 4,000-word, 5,000-word extended essay as part of the diploma. The AP program has no essay, but the IB has the essay. And I've also had kids who just – they heard about the Concord Review. They wanted to get in it, and they've decided to do an independent study with sort of minimal teacher help. I had an essay a couple of years ago by a boy in Atlanta who told his parents when he was a sophomore that he was going to try to get published in the Concord Review.
Hmm.
Spent the next 18 months working on a paper on the Soviet-Afghan War, which has many lessons from what we're doing now.
Right.
15,000 words. He applied from Atlanta. He applied to Christ Church College, Cambridge, Oxford, rather. And he said during his interview, they have no extracurricular activity. So all they were interested in was his essay for the Concord Review.
Wow. And
that's where he is now. He's in his first or second year at Christ Church College. But that was an independent study. You know, he decided to do that. But see, kids do that.
There's much less of that now. Yes, I know.
Kids do that all the time in
right.
sports. In sports, they work, they do push-ups and run and, you know, exercise all summer so they'll do
and
well.
And push till they get better.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And I just think if kids are willing to do that academically, we shouldn't discourage them. You know, say, go
ahead. As we close this conversation, I want to know how you feel when you get one of these and it just leaps off the page.
Well, my standards have gone up and up and up following the kids. You know, I thought I'd have a 110-page issue with 11 essays. Now I have 250 pages, 280 pages, because they're the ones that are leading, that are setting the standards. And it's just, again, it's in athletics. You have high school kids jumping over 7 feet, you know. I mean, they do it because their peers are doing it. So I'll try that. I think I can do that, you know, and they do. So I'm just trying to get out of their way and also let their peers know that some people their age are working pretty hard.
And I'll just give a note to teachers because there've got to be some good teachers working with these students to lead them to this.
That's right.
These days teachers are not getting some of the credit they
That's
deserve.
Right. And they're so busy. You know, they're too busy, a lot of them.
Yeah. Oh, well, this is excellent. I love varsity academics. Hmm. I think the Concord Review is an excellent idea. And I am very impressed that in many colleges around the country, they post some of these essays as just a lift up for other students and for faculty and administrators. So good work.
Thank you very much.
We've been talking about education this hour. My guest, William Fitzhugh, is the founder and publisher of the Concord Review. To learn more about the review, visit our website or log on to tcr.org. You can keep on top of the Callie Crossley Show at wgbh.org/Callie Crossley. Follow us on Twitter or become a fan of The Kelly Crossley Show on Facebook. Today's show was engineered by Alan Mattis and produced by Chelsea Murs, Anna White-Knuckleby, and Abby Ruzicka. We're a production of WGBH Radio, Boston's NPR station for news and culture.